Message this morning has an interesting title, and I'm sure you all are thinking, okay, what's the pastor going to have to say today? Well, I've been praying that the Spirit of God directs me in regard to that, and we'll see what God has to say to us today. It comes out of 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to read the verses 8 to the end of the chapter, verses 8 through 15. And then we'll talk about that. So reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands, without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, adorning themselves not with elaborate hairstyles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety. Now, Margaret kind of thought that it was my plan to preach this sermon on this passage on a Sunday when I'm not going to be able to have this sliced and diced on Wednesday night. No, she says, no, she didn't think that. It is an interesting passage from Paul to Timothy, and it's one that has created many, many discussions and smiles and frowns, etc., over the years. It's true. God has created men and women and given them some similar roles and also some different roles. We're going to take a look at the creation account. Genesis 1. God created mankind, how? In His own image. So he talks about creating mankind, first of all, in chapter 1, and mankind is created in his image. Okay, now, we might think mankind includes women and everyone. Well, okay, we come to chapter 2, and we see this. For Adam had no suitable helper for him, so what did God do? God gave him a sedative, laid him on the table, opened him up, and what?
He took a rib.
And what did he do? He created woman. For what purpose?
As a helper
to Adam. Okay, so chapter 1. God created mankind. And what was the purpose of his creating mankind? What job did he give them? You remember what it says? There were two things. The first thing, yes, was to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, that was the first thing. What was the second thing God created and gave mankind to do in chapter 1? Yes, to be fruitful and increase, to fill the earth and subdue it. So two things God said, okay? Number one, be fruitful and increase. Number two, subdue the earth. So that's the job God gave mankind. And then in chapter 2, God takes a rib out of man and creates woman to be the helper for man. So man and woman are to increase and multiply and to subdue the earth, to rule over it. That includes the animals and all that is. Okay, that's Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. Now, what happens between chapter 2 and chapter 3? What do they do? What happens? Sin. Sin comes into the world, doesn't it? Adam and Eve are disobedient to God's command not to eat from a specific tree in the garden. And it was just one tree. But that one tree, He said, I don't want you to eat from it. And they did. So they were disobedient. Sin came into the world. Okay, now, we learn a little bit more about man and woman. Okay, the two genders. For the woman, what was God's punishment as a result?
Pain during childbirth.
Yes, she would have great pain during childbirth. And there was something else that she would have. Okay, we think of the great pain. That's the thing that we remember. But there was something else God said there. He said, also, you will have a desire for your husband. Okay? So there's going to be great pain in childbearing. Women are going to have a desire for their husbands. And then also, God says, the husband will rule over the wife. Okay? Okay? Yeah. Okay, it says all of that, okay? Go back to chapter 3 of Genesis. You'll see it. It's there. Okay? Now, we're not done yet, okay? That's what God said for the woman. What God says for the man is this. What? What's he say for the man? You remember?
You're going to have to work hard.
Yeah, the ground's going to be cursed. There are going to be weeds. We're all gardening right now. What do?
We pull weeds.
We hoe weeds. We spray weeds. Weeds, weeds, weeds. But then what do? We harvest from the garden. So the man is going to have to live by the sweat of his brow. He's going to have to work hard. And then God says, from dust to dust, ashes to ashes. And that's the passage where the realization is that, you know, in the garden, as God created mankind initially, it would seem that God's plan was for us to live forever. However, when sin came, part of what came with sin was death. And so dust to dust. Out of dust you were formed, and to dust you will return, is part of what came. So, okay? Gender. There is gender. We have been created with gender, male and female. We have been created. We're like the animals in this way. There are different organs that we have that do different things. They have different functions. The male, the father, provides the sperm. The mother, the female, provides the egg and carries the child. I love this time of year because it's the time when all the tiny little fawns can be seen when you're in the woods and watch them. And they're so much fun to watch. But even better than that are the tiny little babies. We were at the race Friday morning because Matt and Amber ran, and then our granddaughter, Sterling, ran her first race. She ran the mile, and it was great. But my brother was there, holding his little grandson. And you know what? You know, the animals, those baby animals, those baby dogs, those whatever animals are cute and wonderful. But then there are those children that God gives us. Those created things that moms carry for 9 months and then come and are come to life. So, there are specific gender functions. Okay? No question. There are those. Gender is something that's important. Now I have another illustration of how that's important. We have a very good friend in Ohio who we have been a part of that family's life for 30-some years. This young couple had a baby. The baby was born with the upper portion of her body born normally and naturally. And as it should be, her heart and her lungs were as they were should be. But from there down, there was nothing. Okay? It was just a mass of stuff. There was no stomach. There were no bowels. There were no genitals. There were no organs. And she was, you know, paralyzed from the waist down, born that way. So, the doctors at Johns Hopkins said to mom and dad, they said, okay, we have this child. She's healthy from the lungs up, the heart, the lungs are good. She's going to live, we think. She'll live for a while anyhow. But there are lots of issues here. And one of the things we have to decide, one of the things you have to decide, is what gender you are going to want us to create in this child. Because there was no gender. Okay, she was born without any of those organs. And so the family decided that they wanted her to be a girl. And so the doctors at Johns Hopkins did all the surgeries to do what they needed to do to create the bowels and the stomach and then give this child the look of a girl, of a woman, of a female. And, of course, gave her hormones that would help her gain at least some of those qualities of a female. So, gender is something that is important. And it's not just important in God's creation and God's plan, but it's important as we see this kind of thing happen in our world. Our world understands, our doctors understand, that gender makes a difference, both physically and psychologically. Gender matters. God created gender. Gender orientation is different between men and women. Society recognizes those differences. Thus, we have men and women's bathrooms. Right? For now. There are places in the world where that's different, isn't there? Isn't that true? Yes. Okay, so we come here to this point. We see that God has created men and women, female and male genders. As I got to this point and recognized, okay, the reality of sin has manipulated and distorted the gender roles over the centuries. And I do it like this: the good, the bad, and the ugly. And really, that's pretty much what has happened in our world. There are those who realize and appreciate the gender and the gender differences. There are those that have taken advantage of that gender difference to do bad things. And then there's just some really ugly stuff out there that's been a part of the whole gender reality. God created both with beauty. Okay? We cannot lose that reality. God created both male and female with beauty and with special purpose. That's God's plan. To fill, to subdue. God has given us different roles. Childbearing, fathers, husbands, protectors, carers, mothers, nurturers. But after these roles, these very gender-specific roles, which are very few, I would say, okay, and I think the gender-specific roles are very few, okay? That package is very small of those gender-specific roles. Because after that, there are lots of things that God wants us to do together. Okay? That take both of us, male and female. And there are some things yet that tend to be what I would call gender-specific. Of course, the male is physically stronger, the female physically weaker. Generally. Yo, mothers nurse and care for the babies. Fathers provide and protect. So now the question becomes this. Are there or should there be gender-specific roles for Christians in the church? That's the question you're all waiting for me to answer, aren't you? Are there gender-specific roles in the church? For both men and women, there needs to be submission to God and love for our brothers and sisters. Men lift up holy hands in prayer. What's that indicating when Paul tells Timothy that? Men, lift up holy hands in prayer. What he's saying is, Timothy, I want you to teach the men to be submissive to God, to be humble before God, to worship God, because God is your leader. God is the one to whom you need to be in submission to. Men, don't be angry. Don't be fighting. Okay? Lift your hands in prayer. And then it's interesting, Paul says, don't be angry and don't be fighting. Huh. Men are the stronger. We're the ones that go to war. We're the ones that fight. We know how to do that. Well, women, I know you fight too, but this is to men that Paul's talking now. And he's talking about being submissive to God, being humble before God. He's talking about recognizing God as your leader. And then, men, you need to be leaders. Genesis, God speaking to the women about the man, and he will rule over you. God has given us a role, men. Now, I don't like the way that Paul, that is spoken of here, rule over, but I think what's being said is you're to be the leader. You're the one that's to lead in that family context. You're the stronger physically. You need to lead with love and care. And when we come to the New Testament, we see the scriptures talking about submission to each other and to God. And so husbands, men, it's not a leadership with a big stick. It's a leadership with a big heart and a loving heart. That's the good. The bad is the men who abuse that role of leadership. They abuse it, beat their wives with sticks and with words, and go outside the home and carouse and do other things. That's the bad and the ugly. God's calling us to the good. He's calling us to be submissive to God, to worship Him, and to be loving, leading husbands. So Paul says, I want men to lead with loving care and holy submission to God, praying, lifting up holy hands. To the women, there's a long list of stuff here, isn't there? What's he saying to you women? Here's what I think he says to you. He's saying, understand the male ego and gender makeup of the man, because he's different than you. Dress modestly. Do not use your gender to manipulate or bring ungodly temptation to men. Okay? Men and women, we're different. We are different, aren't we? Indeed, we are. Women, be careful what you do. Be godly women who understand the gender difference and don't use that difference to manipulate or bring temptation to your husband or other men. Learn in submission to the man who loves you and wants to lead you into godliness. There are two things here. Number one, men, we need to be men of God who are going to lead our wives into godliness. Women, when you have a husband like that, follow him submissively. Listen to him. Learn from him. Because he's learning from God. He's in submission to God. Husbands, men, our wives need to see us lifting up holy hands in prayer. One of the commentaries that I read as I studied talked about the reality that so many times, oh God, and with the many words we pray and we stand on the street corners, we go out the church door, blankety blank, blah, 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 blah. Blankety blank, blah, 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 blah. It's not godliness, is it? So, when we lift up our holy hands, our heart better be where it needs to be. Because God's expectation of us is that we are spiritual leaders in our home. So that when our wife watches us stand in church and pray, or kneel and pray, she says, oh, thank the Lord for a man who's following the Lord in submission. But when she gets home, that's a different man. No, men. We need to be men of God, who when we stand in the church are the same as when we're standing at home or at the store with the public. So women, my prayer is that you have a godly husband that you can listen to as he leads you. That's what Paul's talking about. The society of Paul's time and ours has fallen into a progression of abuses where neither the man or the woman want to submit to anyone, let alone God or each other. We're so independent. We don't want to hear the word submission. With submission, there needs to come humility. And I kind of use those two as one, in a sense. Humble, submissive. Humble, knowing that, you know, this person who I am with is a person that God has given me and I love and I care for. And I want to share their life in wonderful and special ways. And so there's a submission and a humility that works together to bring about a wonderful kind of relationship. Paul is wanting to provide some kind of a sense of order that leads people to God and godliness. God loves you and wants to lead you into a life of holiness. Men, submit to God's leadership. Men, love your women and lead them into a desire to submit to God's will and God's way. Men, lift up holy hands in worship and submission to God. Women, demonstrate a love for God that is evidenced in the way you dress, and the way you listen and follow the leadership of your husbands and godly men. What's God's desire? What's God's greatest desire? To see all men and women come to salvation. That's God's greatest desire. To see all men and women come to salvation. How does this happen? Number one, through Jesus Christ and the cross. Through the blood. That's first of all how it happens. Secondly, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as he draws us to himself, as he opens our eyes and our understanding to our need for him and our need for salvation. But then the third thing, and that's where we come in. That's where this message comes in. The third thing is the testimony of Christians, men and women. Yeah, God created us differently, but he also created us with a lot of the same things to do. What should that testimony look like? Men who love God and worship him and submit to him. Women who learn the love of God from men who are their leaders. Men lead. Paul says to Timothy, I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. Strong statement by Paul. Why did he say that? Part of it's the preparation that's here, but a lot of that was a result of the culture that was a part of their society at that time. For both Jews and Greeks, women were nothing. Almost less than nothing. In the temple of Aphrodite and the temple of Diana, both of those temples had more than 1,000 prostitutes. In the temple, prostitutes that at night would go out in the street and come back into the temple. That's the ugly. That's the distorted reality of God's created gender. That's not what God wanted. But that's what that society, that world was seeing of women and their relationship to the temple of those gods. So, Christians, we need to be doing this a little bit differently. The world needs to see a different picture. The world needs to see godly women who are willing to be humble and submit to the leadership of God and their husbands. Therefore, Paul says, I don't permit a woman to teach. Why? Not because women were bad, not because they didn't have anything to say, not because they weren't as smart as men, but primarily in this context, because of what that would communicate to the pagans of the world that they were living in. And it wasn't a positive message of God's love and who God was. Paul is seeking to set in order a plan that would restore the leadership of men and bring strength into the church and a more desirable testimony to the world. When God created men and women, he created them with gender to protect and provide, to nurture and care. Paul wants to lift men up into their leadership roles. Paul wants to strengthen the church. He is not putting women down, okay? He is not putting women down, but he's creating a picture that is more like what God wants in terms of who women are. They are not prostitutes to be played and taken by any man at any time. They're created specially as God's creation as a helper for man. The problem is that men don't lead the way they need to. So men, we need to do a better job. We need to be more like Christ. We need to lift up holy hands that indicate not a Sunday morning testimony, but an every day, every moment testimony to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's role for women is to love and care and nurture. And believe me, we need women in the church who are loving and caring and nurturing, who are able to teach. We have women pastors in our denomination. Question is, should there be women pastors? I believe it's fine to have women pastors. But they certainly need to be submissive to God and need to be submissive to the leadership of the men in their church. Okay? Did you hear that? There needs to be a submission to God first, but also to the leadership of the men in their church. They may be the pastor, the one who teaches. And women, there are lots of women who are a lot smarter than I am, a lot brighter than I am, a lot more knowledgeable than I am, who can teach me something that I need to learn about God and his word. But there is still a position that places them in a submission to men. And that's God's role That's God's call. Both men and women need to love and worship the Lord in humble submission. Well, okay. So, was it just my position that women should lead and teach? No, Paul believes that too. Paul's talking here in Timothy, but in Acts chapter 18, verses 26, Paul talks about Priscilla and Aquila as being leaders in the church. In Philippians 4, 2 and 3, Paul talks about Euodia and Syntyche, who were leaders in the church. In Acts 21, 9, Philip had four daughters who prophesied. In Galatians 3, 28, Paul says, there's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Well, there it is. I'm not going to be here Wednesday night to discuss it. Thank goodness. No, we'll take opportunity once we get back from vacation, and we'll come back to this. So, you know, you're going to have an opportunity to ask questions and respond and talk about it. You know, as we read and study God's word, and as we come to passages like this, they oftentimes create questions, and it's sometimes difficult to figure out quite where it all fits. And so part of what we have to do, we have to try and take all of Scripture. You know, those other passages that I spoke of where Paul talked about women in the church, those become a part of our trying to figure out what Paul was meaning when he said, I don't allow women to teach. And they must be under men. And part of it is understanding the reality that God did create us with gender, and there is difference between men and women. And it's okay that there's difference. You know, the women have been trying to get on an equal footing with us men for a long time. And now the big thing we hear, well, women aren't paid the same as men. They should be paid more. Well, probably they should if they're doing the same job and doing it as well. And I would say there are women that can do any job that a man can do. Well, maybe not any job a man can do, but many of the jobs that men can do as well as men can do them. Let's listen to God's word. Let's pray a lot. Let's seek the Spirit's guidance. Let's be open. But most of all, let's be submissive to our Lord. Let's worship him with uplifted hands, both men and women, indicating our love for our God, our submission to him, and our submission and humility as we walk together as the church. Amen. Closing.